Given the title for what we're thinking about this morning, Going Back to Basics, this chapter in Galatians, or this passage, Paul says, go back to what you know. All these people that are trying to tell you otherwise, go back to what you know. What is best? And he does that in quite an abrupt way as he calls them foolish. But I'd like us to think for a moment about going back to basics. There was an article on the BBC that caught my eye, and it was all about how old is best. In other words, all these things that we bought, you know, 40, 50 years ago, they're still going strong. Meanwhile, the newer versions, the versions that kind of promise the world, well, they fail after 5 or 10 years. This was the picture that was on the website there, and it's a 40-year-old Kenwood mixer. And the person who'd sent this picture and said it's still going strong. They use it every day and they swear by it. And there was various different pictures of different things that people had sent in. Now, with these things, whether it's mixers, whether it's drills, I've still got my grandfather's drill. It was made in the 50s, and I reckon Douglas will probably still be using it in its centenary. But whatever it is, these things kind of seem to go on and on and on, because it's simple, it's honest, it's a kind of working formula, if you like. Know where they come from, they know that they work, and they just keep on going. Yet the newer products that seem to come along, the products of my generation and a bit before as well, seem to promise so much, yet they just don't last. Now, I'm not lamenting the products that we buy or the mixers or whatever else. Just highlighting that actually when we go back to basics, go back to the things that we started with, well, these things keep on going. Is that not the case? Well, in the Christian life, as we think about getting back to basics, in the Christian life, just as there was a challenge for those in Galatia, there's a challenge too for us. You see, there's a temptation to kind of add extra bits on, to try and kind of morph it so that we have to do extra bits ourselves, to take it above and beyond, to do something that is new and, more importantly, something that is different. Different to what we know. Different to what we know is good and right. This was the challenge for the Galatians. He says, what's going on here? You guys heard and you knew the gospel, yet you've gone down the line of following after something new. Someone's come in and bewitched you. I quite like that word because it carries such a strong connotation. Someone's come in and said, oh, actually, you need to do a little bit extra. You need to go down this line. You need to do something new and different. And Paul says, no, let's get back to basics. Let's get back to what you knew and what was right. The book of Revelation, there's 7 letters that start off to different churches. And there's a letter that's written to Ephesus, and Jesus says this to them. This was his challenge. He says, you've forsaken your first love. In other words, you've gone past, you've turned your back on the reason that you became a church. What it was that brought you together, and that's the fact that you loved Jesus, that you knew him in your life. Well, it's a warning to the church in Ephesus. I think it would stand too for those in Galatia that they've kind of gone off. They've got this gospel plus. But likewise, it's a warning for us this morning. How do we make sure that we're firmly rooted? That we're pointing back to actually the time when the Spirit first moved in us, when we knew that, rather than adding extra bits on and going for a new fancy machine. So, this morning what we're going to do is we're going to look at foolishness. I'm going to give us some examples, more so than my socks. Also, we're going to think about how can we get back to basics. Perhaps with the mixer, maybe some people still have them, still going strong, but maybe other folks, maybe in my generation, are probably trying desperately to get these things that just keep on going on and on eBay. So we think, how can we either go back to basics, or how can we start with the basics? But firstly, foolishness. Who can put their hand up to doing something foolish this week? There must be a few folk out there. Today, this morning? Oh, they're not going for that. Foolishness, and particularly the Greek word that we're using here, I'm not going to try and pronounce it because I know I'll get it wrong, but I know that the connotation is this. It's quite strong, more so than other words for foolishness. What it says is actually that you know better. You knew the right thing, but you chose something else. It's when we have the kind of power to perceive what is right, but we go off and do something else. Again, who could put their hand up to something like that, where you've known what the right thing to do is, you've known what the wise and sage thing to do is, but you've headed off in a different direction. I think if I was to start sharing, I would probably have a whole catalogue of things that I have done that are foolish. In fact, some of them even include household and kitchen appliances and all the rest. I was once flummoxed when I was younger about the phrase that hot knife through butter, how are you going to get hot knife? Well, toasters, they seem quite good, so in the knife went to the toaster. Thankfully, we had good circuit breakers, so that wasn't the end of me. But plenty of foolish things. I would give more of a list of foolish things that I've done, but I don't think Kim would ever let me go out climbing with Michael again if I kept on going. But here's the thing. I've learnt from my foolish ways, and I put my hand up to that. Well, as much as we've got a catalogue for daft things that we've done, foolish things that we've done, likewise, I know myself, I would put my hand up to saying I've a catalogue of foolish things that I've done in the Christian faith. Things that I've got wrong, things that I've said wrong, things that I've done wrong, things that I've thought wrong. And let me say this, if you're thinking that ministers never get it wrong, well, you can put that in your catalogue of foolish thoughts and foolish things that you've done. You see, there's been times when I've tried to put across some piety, and of course it's false. I'm just trying to create an illusion. Or maybe there's times when I've tried to earn my grace. Try to think, well, maybe if I do this, God will be so impressed with me. Maybe if I read the whole Bible, you think, oh, Stuart, you're the best Christian going. Anything but. I've tried to kind of puff myself up. Or what about times when I've underestimated the power of God? What he can do in my life and in people's lives. Or perhaps worst of all, when I've refused to believe just how much God loves me, just how much he has forgiven me. The list of foolish things could go on and on. But come back to what we have here for those Galatians. You see, we talk about foolishness, but Paul has such a clear challenge. He says, what's going on? You guys are being so foolish. Who's bewitched you? And then he offers this kind of acid test. I quite like benchmarks, things that we can kind of turn to and say, well, how does it stand up against this? Well, in chapter 3, particularly at verse 2, we've got such an occasion. We've got an acid test, and here's what he asks. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by believing what you heard? Go back to the beginning. Go back to remembering when you first became a Christian. Was it because you heard and you believed that the Spirit was moving amongst you? Or was it because you'd done all these things, you ticked all these boxes, you tried to kind of puff yourself up? Well, the answer is so plain and so obvious. Go back to a personal relationship. Go back to how things began. Because actually, when you start getting caught up in other stuff, well, it's just foolishness. Mr. T was the one who was on the telly when I was growing up with all his gold chains and all the rest, and he was so blunt. He said, fools, what are you doing? I pity the fools. There's an 80s kids reference. But is it not so clear? The foolishness of kind of going off, adding extra bits on, getting further and further and further away from what God did in our life in the first instance. Well, Paul is so blunt, and I love it. He says, what's going on? Who are these people? And of course, with that, we've got this warning. You see, there's a warning about the peddlers of such foolishness. The people who say, I see what you're doing there with your Christian faith. I like it, but you know what you need? You need just a little bit extra. How about you try and do some of this stuff, and God will be so impressed with you, let me tell you that. No, that's not the case. But yeah, that's what was happening for those Galatians. People were adding an extra bit on. And Paul says, what's going on here? Who are these people that have bewitched you? And so he goes on to say how we're going to refute these things. How we're going to challenge that. And what he does is he steeps us in the Old Testament. In the verses of the Old Testament that show what God had done. So how are we going to sidestep these things? How are we going to sidestep when people say, here's what you don't want to do, here's the extra bits to add on? Well, we're going to go back to basics. We're going to go back to what it says in God's Word. I became a Christian when I was in my mid-teens, and it was away up in Aviemore at Scripture Union Camp. The leaders there and the folks that was alongside, they took the time to explain the gospel in a way in which I could understand. It made sense to me. I understood what God had done for me, how much He loved me, and I said, well, God, I want to follow You. Now, being a Christian when you're a teenager is not easy. There's lots of challenges at school, amongst your friends, and all the rest. And it was challenging years. But year after year, I would go back to the same camp, the same place where I became a Christian. It always became a bit like a kind of pilgrimage, a yearly pilgrimage back to Aviemore, not quite as exotic as some of the other pilgrimages that people do. But I would go back to that very place, and I would remember what God had done. Now, those were good and formative times, but there's something else going on there. You see, more important than going back to the place, going back to Aviemore and there in that room, is going back to what was happening in here. When we realize just how much God loves us and how much He cares for us. When we're confronted by those things. Actually, rather than annually going back, I'd rather go monthly, no, weekly, actually daily, hour by hour, reminding myself where I started, where I began, what God was doing in my life. And this is, of course, what Paul wanted for those in Galatia. He wanted them to understand. So what he employs is to point back to the Old Testament, examples that they would hopefully be familiar with. Firstly, we've got Abraham, this great example of faith. Abraham was one who was called from his homeland, went to new and distant lands, and God had a promise for him. We refer to that now as the covenant that God made. But Abraham was wondering, how is this going to be? Yet he had faith in God, that God would bring about what seemed impossible. And because of his faith, he was made righteous. So Paul starts to expand that up and say, hey guys, look, it's about believing. It's not about what you do or what you try and say and all the rest. The reason that the Spirit was moving amongst you was because you believed. And then he takes it further. He says, see all this stuff about following the law? Well, I've got a thing or two to say about that. You see, if you try and live by it, well, you're just going to end up getting yourself further and further in knots. You're going to end up living under this curse because you can't keep up that standard. But let me tell you about someone who did. Remember? Do you remember hearing about him? Do you remember when I came and shared amongst you? Do you remember what his name was? Jesus Christ? That man who was cursed because he was hung on a pole, on a cross. There is new life. There is a new beginning. Go back to these things, he says. When people are trying to say, add on this bit, add on this bit, be foolish in this way and be foolish in that way, go back to what we know. Go back to what we know is good and right. In lots of different scenarios, we'll use our Bibles. Sometimes it's to prop up a projector. Sometimes it's to put our tea and coffee on when we're sitting down or whatever else. But here's the best way to be using it. When people are starting to say, maybe that stuff about the Spirit, here's how we could tweak it. Here's how we can make it different. Hang on a minute, that's quite different to what I'm reading. Or when people are saying, you know what, in your life you need to do this, you need to do that, you need it to be extra, you need to go above and beyond for God to love you. Actually, no, I know that God loves me because I have faith in Him. And therefore I want to follow after in a set way. When people start to bend and when people start to twist, we go back to using the Bible to say, actually, I don't want to be foolish like those Galatians. I want to stick with what I know. So what's the challenge for this morning? We've been thinking about foolishness, examples thereof, foolish things we've done, or the example of Mr. T or whatever else. We've been thinking about foolishness and getting back to basics. You know, I had that picture there of a mixer. Karen got a sneak preview of my slides, and she was already telling me about the one that she has and how actually trying to get parts and all the rest, the challenges that there's there. Now, there's always going to be a temptation. You put something up like that, people will want to come up to me and say, "Stuart, I've got one of those mixers as well, or I've got an ancient drill and all the rest." Now, I love these things. I'm the biggest geek going, and I'd love to chat about these things. And equally, there might be young folk thinking, actually, I'm going to go and try and on eBay and get some of these stuff and all the rest. Now, I can chat about that till the cows come home. But here's the thing. There's something that I would much rather talk about. There's something that I would much rather we were talking about with one another, with the person sat next to you, with the person that you chat over the table with at soup. Rather than talking about a mixer that you've got, maybe you could talk about a time when you were foolish. You know, I once got it really wrong when I was younger. I tried to do it on my own means. There's a story that we could tell rather than lamenting the fact that we no longer have our Kenwood mixer or whatever else. Perhaps we might even share, actually, you know what? I've been foolish right now. I've tried to earn my own grace. I've tried to go by my own means, and you know what? It just doesn't work. Would you pray for me? Or maybe you'd be sharing, I know more and more about the love of Christ. I'm being so confounded as I open up the Bible and I read these things. Those that maybe had those things, those that had the mixer or whatever else, that kind of older generation of stuff that keeps on going, I'd love to hear folks saying, you know, I'm coming back to my first love. I'm getting my Kenwood mixer out of the cupboard, for one, but more so, I'm coming back to the love that I first heard of. When I heard the love of Jesus in my life, when I responded to that. And for those saying, hey, I think I might try and get one of those things on eBay, let me tell you this. There's something far greater to hear. Something far greater to get. That believing hearing that Paul spoke about when he went and shared with those in Galatia, they heard and they believed. Here, if ever there was one, is a life-changing message. Something that will last. Something that is enduring. Something that most certainly is not foolish. Friends, let's get back to basics. Shall we pray together?